Today, we'd like to see the title of putting on our hands in the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 1, verses 1 to 7. To online worthy people on the earth, we'd like to suggest three questions. Number one, in verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus, what does the promise of life mean? Question 2, in verse 6. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God, which is in you, through the laying on of my hands. What do the phrases of stir up the gift of God and laying on of my hands mean? And what can we apply them to our life? Question 3, in verse 7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. What are a spirit of power, of love, and of a sound mind? And especially, who need those divine characteristics. After the second and third missionary journeys, Paul charged Timothy, the young minister, to teach the solid doctrine to Ephesus church, which had the problem of false doctrine when Paul went into the fourth missionary journey to Rome. In light of 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, as I urged you when I went into Macedonia, today Greece area, remain in Ephesus, today Turkey area, that you may charge some that they teach no other doctrine, nor give heed to fables or joking, and endless genealogies, which cause disputes, rather than godly edification, which is in faith. First, Paul's first imprisonment. After the first missionary journey into Rome, Paul was placed on house arrest for 2 years before his hearing of Nero Emperor Court. In Book of Acts, chapter 28, verse 16, now when we came to Rome, the centurion delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard, but Paul was permitted to dwell by himself with the soldier who guarded him. Verse 23, so when they had appointed him a day, many came to him at his lodging, or Paul's rented house, to whom Paul explained and solemnly testified of the kingdom of God, persuading them, or guests, concerning Jesus from both the law of Moses and the prophets from morning until evening. Verse 30, then Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own rented house and received all who came to him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching the things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no one forbidding him. Here, false doctrine. One user in a newspaper in Orange County, preachers were promising the people that if you will just give to God, God will pay all your bills. This kind of foolishness, and that is painful because they, as the servants of God, misrepresented God as a beggar or a solicitor. The truth is God isn't broke, but God the Creator is the owner of all the earth. Nobody can own anything beyond their own life. God doesn't need that kind of money. And to use all kinds of gimmicks to solicit funds from people is absolutely wrong. Your donations to God are all about your heart to love God. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 21, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Now, Paul's second imprisonment. Paul's second letter to Timothy today, Paul was waiting in a dungeon prison for the execution of the death penalty sentenced by Nero, the Roman emperor, who charged the fire of Rome to Christians in AD 66. In light of 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6 to 8, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure into heaven is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing." The death penalty was sentenced because Paul believed and alleged that God rules any state, including Roman Empire state, constituting the violation of Roman security law, in which the Rome state rules over the church. For example, the security law of North Korea, or the security law of China, or the security law of Iran. Today, many states, like the United States, adopt the separation between state and church in favor of a mutual exclusion, resulting in secularism. Verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. Paul often was a false accuser, not an apostle of Jesus. For example, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 2. "If I am not an apostle to others, yet doubtless I am to you," which meaning I am the apostle of Jesus Christ to you, Corinthian Christians, "because you are the seal of my apostleship in the Lord." Also, Galatians chapter 1, verse 1, Paul himself justified to be the apostle of Jesus Christ, said, "Paul, an apostle, not from man, not through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead." Paul received the gospel of grace in the wilderness directly from God. So therefore, Paul declared himself an apostle of Jesus Christ, although Paul was not trained by Jesus Christ face to face like Peter, John, James, and so on, original 12 disciples. According to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus, here the promise of eternal life, for example, Revelation chapter 2, verses 8 to 11, Jesus gave the promise of life to the church in Smyrna. "And to the angel of the church of Smyrna write, these things says the first and the last, which is Jesus Christ, who was dead and came to life. I know your works, tribulation and poverty, but you are rich toward God. And I know the blasphemy of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are synagogue of Satan. Do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. Jesus gave a promise, the crown of life, which means crown of eternal life. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death. Verse 2, to Timothy, a beloved son, or a dearly beloved son, in the spirit, not biological son. Grace, mercy, and peace, Paul's typical greeting words to teaching ministers, such as Titus, chapter 1, verse 4. Titus also teaching minister, like Timothy. Chapter 1, verse 4, to Titus, a true son in our common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. But Paul's greeting to regular Christians or saints drop off mercy, so grace and peace alone. That example, the 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3, Corinthian Christians, grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience. Pure conscience, which meaning the ministry's motive for ransom, Jesus' love, not for salary. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 2, shepherd, in other words, pastor, that's the same original Greek word, shepherd the flock of God, which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, or not by force, or not by duress, but willingly, cheerfully, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly. So all minister motivation should be for ransom, Jesus' love, not for salary, unlike a secular job. As my forefathers did, or my ancestors did, as without ceasing, I remember you in my prayers night and day. Paul was a man of prayer, like any or other, you know, prayer. Even in a Roman dungeon, because prayer is not limited to location, but travels and works for God around the world. Even in dungeon, disciple Paul praying for Timothy, teaching minister, gratefully desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy. We are not sure of Timothy's tears in the Paul's second imprisonment, but the tears show the depths of their relationship in his love. So, therefore, Paul is filled with joy because of the tears coming from deep love, agape love. Verse 5, when I call to the remembrance the genuine faith or unfeigned faith, pure faith, not contaminated with any falsity, that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, earlier converters, likely in Lystra, Timothy's hometown, in Paul's second missionary journey. So grandmother and Mother Eunice accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. Book of Acts chapter 16 verse 1. Then he, Paul, came to Derbe and Lystra, Timothy's hometown. And behold, look, a certain disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a certain Jewish woman who believed, that is Eunice, but his father was a Greek. Probably his father was non-believer. But his grandmother Lois, his mother Eunice, influenced Timothy to grow in Christianity. Verse 6, therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God. Stir up meaning flame. Flame the gift of God, like a flame the fire. So Paul's second time exhortation right here. Flame the gift of God to teach the solid doctrine. Timothy, as a young teaching minister, likely or probably was discouraged to teach in Ephesus church. The first exhortation, 1 Timothy letter, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 14-16, here, do not neglect the gift that is in you. So Paul said, do not neglect the gift that is in you or that is in Timothy, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the eldership. So elders laid upon Timothy to teach solid doctrine. Verse 15, meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them. Them meaning Ephesus Christians, Ephesus church members, continue in them. For in doing this, you will save both yourself. This is a save meaning progressive salvation or sanctification. And those who hear you. This is a positional salvation. So basically, 1 Timothy letter probably after the first missionary trip of Paul sent the 1 Timothy letter, encourage, exhort Timothy, keep on your gift to teach solid doctrine to them. Then the laying on of my hands. Laying on my hands, which means disciple Paul put his hand upon Timothy's body, usually Timothy's head. Here, Paul is, that times Paul, God ordained Timothy as a teaching minister. Mm-hmm. But Paul, as an instrument of God, ordained by putting on of his hand upon Timothy. Also, Timothy is an instrument of God to teach solid doctrine. Also, putting on of hands shows Paul is a co-minister of Timothy because God ordained Timothy, the instrument of God, through Paul, the instrument of God, to teach solid doctrine. Another example, book of Acts, chapter 13, verses 2 and 3. This is Antioch Church, Antioch Church's Christians ordained Barnabas and Paul to sent out as an apostle to Cyprus. Here, I am reading, Book of Acts, chapter 13, verse 2 and 3. As they meaning Antioch Church, ministered to the Lord. So they ministered to the Lord and fasted The Holy Spirit said, because the Holy Spirit is saying right here, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Holy Spirit is saying to Antioch Church, separate to me Barnabas and Saul together, sent out into first journey, a mission journey. Then having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them. So Antioch Church laid hands on Barnabas and Saul. They sent them away. So they sent them away into a new missionary area. So in that context, in the Cyprus area. So here, please note that the laying on of hands, which meaning we are in co-ministry with you. So Antioch Church Christians are in co-ministry with the disciple and Barnabas, and imparting to them they laying on of hand, that ordaining process. Laying on of hand, which meaning ordaining process. Ordaining you to do the work of God. Ordaining actually the work of God. Here note, the success to activate the active faith is dependent upon the Holy Spirit saying. Because the Holy Spirit is saying to the ordainers, the people, so right now it's you ordain Barnabas Paul to send out. So at the point of touching or putting on of their hands, they are activate or they released their faith to send out Barnabas and Paul as apostles. That's called is active faith. So point of contact to activate or release the pulse of faith right here, because you're laying on of my hands. So Paul put it on of his hand upon Timothy. So that's called active faith. Active faith means God is going to do right now rather than God is going to do in his time. Most of our faith passive faith. So for example, you know, somebody asked me to pray for heal his sickness. I prayed for him. So in his time, in his way, you may heal. You know, that is a passive faith. But certain case, the Holy Spirit is saying specifically, you may touch your hand on sick people right now. So God said, he is going to be healed right now at the time of your touching on ill people. That kind of example, for example, right here. Number one, the woman with the flow of blood with her face touched the border of Jesus' garment, immediately was healed. In Luke chapter 8, verse 47, 48. Now when the woman saw that she was not hidden, she came trembling and falling down before Jesus. She declared to Jesus in the presence of all the people and the region she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. And Jesus said to her, daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Here, her faith, active faith, because she had a faith at the time of touching the hem of Jesus' garment, she will be healed. That is active faith. Now, she had set a point of contact for the releasing of faith, or for the activating of faith. In her mind, there, she had set this point. I know if I can just but touch even the hem of his garment, that's all I need, that I will be healed if I can just touch him. That became a point of contact for the releasing of her faith, so that when she touched it, immediately the flow of blood stopped. She released the faith. I will believe he will stop it now. The minute I touched and faith was released or activated and she was healed. Second example, sick people who passed by the shadow of Peter with faith were healed. In book of Acts chapter 5, verse 15 and 16. So that they brought the sick people out in the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might fall on some of them. Also, a multitude gathered from the surrounding cities to Jerusalem, bringing sick people and those who were tormented by unclean spirits, and they were all healed. Not that there was anything spiritual or dynamic in Peter's shadow, but it gave a point of contact for the releasing of faith. So, as Peter would walk down the street, they would take a look, find out where the sun was, find out where the shadow were falling, and said their friends so. You know, the shadow of Peter would fall on them. As it did, they released faith and were healed. Third example, this is a little different. A certain man with an infirmity for 38 years had the faith to step in the pool of Bethesda first and to be healed. In John chapter 5, verse 2 to 5. Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stood up the water. Then whoever stepped in first, after the string of water, was made well of whatever disease he had. Now a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. Then, because their faith was said to be activated by the troubling of the water, I just have to be the first one in. There was that feeling, and because it was a place of the releasing of faith, the first one in would be healed. But Jesus asked him, "Do you want to be made well?" without a question of his active faith. In John chapter 5, verse 7 to 9, the sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, but while I am coming, another steps down before me." Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up your bed and walk." And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed and walked. The first example, with Paul, they would take his handkerchiefs or aprons and place them on sick people, and they would be healed. In book of Acts chapter 19, verse 11 and 12. Now God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body to the sick people, and the disease left them, and the evil spirit went out of them. Again, a point of contact. So now, verse 7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So, God has not given us a spirit of fear of any creatures except holy fear or reverence to God. Because holy fear, the fear of God, is the beginning of wisdom. But over power and over love and over a sound mind. A spirit of power, a spirit of love, a spirit of sound mind. Sound mind from sound doctrine, which is the gospel. Because the next verse, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8, therefore do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God. So divine characteristics, divine characteristics needed for teaching ministries, particular teaching ministries, spiritual power, also agape love, and the sound doctrine. So let's see each question answered. In verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus. What does the promise of life mean? The promise of eternal life. Question 2, in verse 6, therefore I remind you, stir up the gift of God, which is in you, through the laying on of my hands. What do the phrases of stir up the gift of God and laying on of my hands mean? Stir up the gift of God means flame the gift of God to teach solid doctrine, which is in Timothy. So encourage. So continue to keep on your teaching solid doctrine. Laying on of my hands. That meaning, usually ordination price, that meaning shows up first, the disciple, the instrument of God, so he ordained Timothy to be a teaching minister. Second, Timothy, the instrument of God. Also, this shows Paul is a co-minister over Timothy. Also, another one, this is active faith, Paul's active faith. When Paul touches Timothy's body, that time Paul releases his faith to send out Timothy as a teaching minister. That we should note that whenever the Holy Spirit says specifically, we can activate our active faith. Otherwise, in most time, passive faith. And what can we apply them to our life, as I said? Question 3 in verse 7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. What are the spirit of power, of love, and of a sound mind? That is spirit power, God's power, Holy Spirit power. The spirit of love, love is the fruit of the Holy Spirit, and the sound mind coming from sound doctrine, so which is the next verse in the gospel, especially who need those divine characteristics, that is teaching ministers. Teaching ministers, if a teaching minister has no power of a spirit, so he would be dead. So if a minister has no agape love, so whatever teaching well would be useless to build up the body of Christ. So sound mind, if you don't know sound doctrine, you would not be qualified to deliver God's word rather than human thought, human philosophy. Let's just sing song all together, the bulletin. Page 2, number 3. Page 2, number 3.